With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is the Dom Show. Welcome in, everyone. Good Tuesday. Thanks so much for being part of it. All right, I saw this interview with Tucker Carlson, and I thought it was right on point, and we reached out, and happy to bring you Jalissa Arce. She is a young woman who has a lot of talent. She's the writer, the author of My Unfound American Dream. Someone brought here illegally at a young age that made it all the way to the near top of Goldman Sachs, as I said, as an author, a much-in-demand speaker and all that. And with the wall particularly being an issue and all these issues related this week coming to a head, happy to bring you someone. Here's how one interview was headlined, how an undocumented immigrant from Mexico became a star at Goldman Sachs. She joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Jalissa, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Now, the book is what, out there about a year or so?
About 6 months.
6 months, okay. And that's still available then. And the title of the book?
My Underground American Dream.
Now, when I saw you on with Tucker, we talked about what you said you had to do. And I wanted to go with that first. I guess you say it in the book, too. To rise to this level of a VP at Goldman Sachs, one of the world's premier places to be in the world of finance. So how did one who was here illegally undocumented get to that level? What did you have to do?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. And, you know, I think one of the big misconceptions is that everybody that comes into the country who's undocumented crossed the border and came here illegally. I actually came to the U.S. on a tourist visa. I came to visit my parents who lived here. And then when my visa expired, that's when I became undocumented. So I didn't originally enter the country illegally. But once my visa expired, I was undocumented, just like everyone else who is undocumented. And the options that I had for being successful and achieving the American dream were very limited. And you know, I waited for the law to change, for a line to be created, for a fee that I could pay, for an application I could fill out. But unfortunately, our immigration system, as it stands right now, doesn't give that option. And so I did the only thing that I could do, which, you know, as I said in the Tucker Carlson show, I'm not proud of it. It's not something that I'm flaunting around, but it is the reality of what I had to do, which is to get fake papers to be able to apply. And I didn't know if those papers were going to work or not, but it's a risk that I was willing to take in pursuit of my dreams and to honor the sacrifices that my parents made and the hard work that I'd put in high school and in college.
Okay, that's fair enough. But the point is, though, the argument can be made that's not what you had to do. There was another option. You go back out, you reapply and all that. So it is a choice, though, although I think people listening understand that, you know, you were committed to succeeding and this was the avenue that you thought was the only one appropriate.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Right, like we all make choices, and all the choices that we make have consequences. And I'm not sure how many people remember this, but during the Bill Clinton administration, there were a 10-year ban that was instituted, which basically says that if you're undocumented for longer than a year and you leave the country, you cannot come back for 10 years. You automatically have a 10-year ban placed against you. So sure, I could have made the choice when I was 19 years old, 20 years old, that I was going to leave the country, but then I wasn't going to be able to come back for 10 years. And who knows what's going to happen in those 10 years. And I left Mexico when I was 11 years old. I didn't know that country anymore, right? So I think that the choices that are left for people in my situation are very difficult, and many times they end up being catch-22, right? If you leave the country, it's not like this waiting period And you know,
okay. All right. Well, that's a reasonable debating point. So then you end up at Goldman Sachs. You succeed greatly. You're an author. You're much in demand. You marry. So you're a full-fledged American citizen now. And then I think you came to light because one of the things you did in these roles, you wrote this article and you talked about the wall, which doesn't appear the funding's going to be there this week because of the argument over this. And you call it words around symbol of hate. And I watched this with Tucker Carlson. And up until that point, I thought it was fine. But I wanted to give you another shot because you ran out of time. In what world can you say protecting the border with this wall and preventing people from coming in here illegally that you see this perceptually or in your heart as a symbol of hate? On what basis?
Yeah, and thank you so much for this platform to be able to speak more about it. So, you know, I think we have to look at how the wall was even announced and the motives behind the wall. I do not think that it's hateful to want to protect our borders and to want to protect our country. That is our right as the sovereign nation to do that. However, when you say you're going to build a wall, and that was announced as a result of Mr. Trump calling Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals, and the wall is being built to keep one specific type of immigrant out, and that is a brown immigrant. We're not, you know, we never talk about the fact that there are 50,000 undocumented Irish people living in the country, and that the fastest growing immigrant population in the U.S. is actually Asian immigrants, not Latin American immigrants, not Mexican immigrants. And so this wall is purely symbolic because it's not going to keep people out.
Well wait a minute. Let's stop there. How do you, other than the visa thing, which has to be reformed, that's a fair point. How do you know the wall, though, is not going to aid and abet? We're seeing already, just by discussion, Jalissa, of the wall, that the apprehensions at the borders and all that are down. I'm looking at a figure this morning. Illegal crossings are down 90% in one area. Isn't that due to some of this pushback?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think, you know, I do think that the rhetoric in the country is creating a lot of fear, and it's definitely making people think twice about coming here because perhaps the opportunities that they seek won't be available. And so that's definitely fair. However, when you look at places along the border where a wall already exists, I live in Los Angeles and just a couple of hours south in San Diego, there's already a wall between Tijuana and San mm-hmm. Diego. And you know, if what we're really trying to stop is drugs and very sophisticated cartels from coming into the country, a wall isn't going to stop them because they have resources. They're sophisticated organizations. And so we have to fight them and combat them in a more comprehensive manner.
Well, but I agree with you on that, but it's not just the drugs, even though President Trump says that at times. It's the overall approach. But I wanted to turn to one other area, too, that I was interested in, that I thought I really objected to what you arrived at ultimately when Tucker Carlson kept on asking you about how many people should we bring into the country each year. You went toward the visa thing and you would double it. Why would we double the visa, the HB1s? And I think you were talking about that. I stand with the American worker, and I think we have plenty of people in this country who are smart, driven, and they are not able to compete or be paid what they should because they're being undercut by these visa programs and people here illegally.
Okay, so I'll tell you some statistics that helped me to arrive at this conclusion. Our labor force is undergoing a massive shift right now as baby boomers start to retire. And it's been estimated by the Pew Research and other organizations, reputable nonpartisan organizations, that close to 59 million workers, baby boomers, will leave the workforce between 2010 and 2030. And there's only 51 million native workers, and we define native workers mm-hmm. With third generation or higher, who've been here for three generations or more, entering the labor force. So that leaves us with about 8 million jobs that will not be filled unless there is immigrant labor coming into the country. what happens when you don't have enough people that are going to work, that creates a slowdown. It stops productivity.
All right, I know that argument, but I want to turn back to the visa thing again. This is a sticking point, and I think Trump, even if we differ on the illegal, is right on this. American workers, IT workers, skilled people are being undercut by unscrupulous groups that want to bring in people to undercut their wages. And many times it's not about Mexicans or brown people. They're Indian, they're Irish. It's that type of thing. And you said you would double the HB1 visa programs.
Right, because the H-1 visa problems have a lot of issues, and those are issues that need to be looked at because it is the workers who are also being abused. I can tell you that, you know, as an immigrant myself, like, no one comes here and says, "I want to make 50% of what an American worker makes." That's not what the intention is to come here to undercut the American worker. I think that the real solution needs to be, how do we create policies so that there isn't abuses for HB1 visa, so that people are getting paid a fair wage, and the competition is more fair.
I would tell you, we have a market economy. The way that you do that is you don't bring in an entity that can undercut what is where the standard is, what Americans would be paid in the IT field. You don't need to have government intervention. The market will sort that out, unless you have this X factor where they can bring these people in. And I'm not saying these people are intentionally doing anything. They just want to get ahead. But the American worker does too.
Yeah, but I think that where that argument fails, which is people are coming to take American jobs, it assumes that there are only a fixed number of jobs to be had. And that's not how the economy works. That's not how the economy grows.
Well, Julissa, I would tell you, tell that to the IT workers at Disney who had to train people in the IT field there and were undercut by them. I think they would tell you something different. Where do people find you, though? You're much in demand all over the place on all kinds of things. What's your website?
My website is julissaarce.com, and that's julissaarce.com.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I do hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.